grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Palm Sunday wasn't just thrown together at the spur of the moment. It had been planned for centuries. As the prophet Zechariah wrote hundreds of years prior, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, humble and riding on a donkey." So in accordance with God's ancient promise, Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and he planned his arrival very carefully. Throughout his earthly ministry, he kept telling his listeners that he had set his face to travel to Jerusalem, and he said why. He said he would there suffer death on a cross, rise from the grave on the third day. He would enter as a king, so he made sure that his disciples secured a donkey, not a horse and a chariot, but a donkey. Why is that? Well, in those days, the donkey was a royal animal rode by kings in triumphant procession. Now, today it would be a horse, but in those days it was a donkey. All the other trappings were there as well for the coming of a great king. There were big crowds, excitement, palm branches, and something that wasn't planned by Jesus, but that some of the crowds wanted, a coronation as king. Now, parades like that in the ancient world meant that a great victory had been won. If it was a successful general, he would be coming into town on a war horse, perhaps a chariot, and he would be lifted up and crowned as king. In front of the general would be his victorious troops, and behind him would be the prisoners of war, captive and in chains, being mocked by all who saw them. But Jesus was not entering Jerusalem that way. He was coming in humble. No army in front of him, no captives behind him. So why all the excitement? Well, word had gotten around and spread very quickly that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead just before his arrival. That miracle was fresh on everyone's mind. Even in the ancient world, word traveled pretty quickly in a small area like that. All of the works and words of the past 3 years were coming to mind as people began to wonder, is Jesus coming in to force a new social order? Is Jesus coming to overthrow the despised Roman occupation and restore local rule? That was what the crowds expected, but it was not to be. The kingdom of God does not involve secular political concerns. For Jesus, everything was leading to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Of course, there would be a coronation for Jesus, but it wouldn't be with golden crowns and jewels. It would be thorns. And of course, Jesus would be lifted up for all to see, but it would be on a cross. Oh, and Jesus would have a great conquest, too. The curse of sin, death, and the devil would be dragged captive in chains before the week was over. Our Lord arrived to the shouts of Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. The word Hosanna means save us now, save us now. And so they kept repeating it, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us now, save us now, save us now. But their idea of salvation was to be rid of the Romans. And while Jesus is at it, he can get rid of those corrupt religious and political authorities that were in cahoots with Rome. Now, our Lord's kingdom has nothing to do with those things. As the days wore on, Jesus did nothing to challenge the ruling authorities. He did nothing to set up an earthly government. Our Lord was interested in setting up the true Israel, the Israel of prophecy, which is the Christian church. All the mentions of Israel being permanent and at peace and never falling are prophecies not of a political nation, which rose and fall many times, but it's a prophecy concerning the true Israel, the church. Now, of course, all week there was still excitement over the raising of Lazarus. But our Lord did that to demonstrate what's in store for all believers. Jesus is the God who raises the dead, and you can put your trust in the God who raises the dead. Through his death and resurrection, he brings salvation and resurrection to all believers. The cross and the empty tomb is how Jesus answered the prayer, "Hosanna, save us now, Hosanna." That is what Palm Sunday is all about. It's Jesus entering Jerusalem to offer himself for the sins of the world, to die and rise. Why Jerusalem? Could he have done it in some other city? No, Jerusalem was the only place on the face of this earth where God permitted priests to transfer the sins of the guilty onto the innocent. It was in the temple of Jerusalem and no other place on earth that God allowed sacrifice to be made. Only in Jerusalem. What if you lived far away from Jerusalem? You traveled there. In Jerusalem, animals went to their death, shedding their blood to atone for sins they did not commit. That's why Jesus is called the Lamb of God. He went to Jerusalem, and there he shed his innocent blood, his holy blood, to atone for the sins of the guilty. Jesus was doing exactly what had been happening in Jerusalem for a long time in the temple, the innocent suffering for the guilty. In fact, Palm Sunday was the very day, Palm Sunday, in which the lambs were chosen for sacrifice, just a few days before the Passover. The ancient people on this very day were buying their lambs and getting them ready for the Passover on Friday. What a powerful connection this is. God was choosing his own son on the day that the lambs were chosen, and God chose his son to be the final sacrifice for sins. This is why St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Just as the children of Israel were saved from the 10th plague against Egypt by the blood of a lamb, so you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. So yes, there was lots of excitement on Palm Sunday. But only 5 days later, they weren't shouting Hosanna anymore. They were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Their shouts of Hosanna were only temporary. But don't let that happen to you, please. Think back to when you were confirmed. Generally, on this day, we confirm young people. We did that last year. But on confirmation, you made a promise to continue in the Christian faith with the help of God. And how does he help? He does help you. He gives you his word and sacraments. This is how your faith was created, and it is how your faith is sustained. Do not reject or neglect God's help by abandoning the very things he established to give it to you and to keep you in it. These words, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," well, they obviously didn't make much of a lasting impact on the people back then who said it. But those words sure make an impact on us, the Christian church. So much so that we use these words in our communion liturgy, not just on Palm Sunday, but every time we have communion. We cry, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna was once a temporary cry, but now it's permanent. It's part of our confession of faith and an unchangeable part of our service liturgy. So let it be our Palm Sunday prayer that Hosanna will be a permanent and unchangeable part of your lives as well. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.